Brian Had a Dream, 10,000 Movies, 40 Years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And welcome once again to the Quest for 10,000, the podcast where we join Brian's journey to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. Thank you so much for listening and downloading this podcast. And we hope that you will share this with a friend. Tell your friends about the Quest for 10,000 by going to 10kmovies.com and see Brian's blog where we post these podcasts twice a month. Or follow on Twitter at 10kmovies. Today, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Everywhere you go.
We are getting very, very close to the most wonderful time of the year. And so in today's episode, we thought we would discuss the relationship of movies to the holidays, mostly the Christmas holiday. And that will cover everything from movies where Christmas is a major theme to our top five, which is the top five movies with a Christmas release date. Well, this has been the topic that I brought to us. And so it's just something I've been thinking about lately, especially with a young son and also with the new Star Wars movie opening very soon, even though it's prior to Christmas. It's made me think a lot about how many of my Christmas memories are also associated with movies and with films. And something that I've done a lot of in my life is to go and watch a movie on Christmas Day mm-hmm. in the theater. And so I'm wondering if that's ever been a part of your tradition of watching movies. And if not, why not? If so, why so? Or how else have movies been a part of your holiday celebrations?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that as a family we went out, made a point to go out and watch movies, although I certainly know a lot of families that do. Typically around Christmas, though, is a time when you do try to hit up the theaters probably two or three times during that season, because it's when a lot of the movies you've been waiting on, you know, that you know are going to be good, are kind of clustered around those 3 or 4 weeks. So you know the quality is going to be there in a way it might not be throughout the rest of the year.
Right, it's the beginning of Oscar season, mm-hmm. right? Kind of the Oscar bait stuff. And it's really just smart marketing in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I think it's the old idea of, you know, what are families going to do after all the turkey and ham has been eaten, all the presents unwrapped? Well, let's go watch a movie and do that. But there are certain films, I think, that I've always sort of associated with Christmas time. Mm-hmm. Are there films like that for you?
Yeah, there are some films that, like... you know, I would watch a good bit on Christmas. Like a couple of years in a row when we were getting our house ready for Christmas, I would watch Annie with my wife before we had a child, because I love Annie, and I just put it on and watched it on a loop around Christmas. So yeah, there are movies that I think when it's Christmas time, I, for whatever reason, I have an itch to watch those movies again.
Right, and two movies actually I think that most folks would associate, and you see a lot during this time of year. The Christmas Story that you mentioned on a loop, runs on a loop on Christmas Day on TNT, TBS, those stations. And then also, It's a Wonderful Life. Mm-hmm. And so the interesting thing about those two movies for me is that really, for a lot of people, I think, if you ask them what their top two favorite Christmas movies are, those two are going to be near the top of the list, mm-hmm. in part because they're on TV so much mm-hmm. around this time of year. But both of those were commercial flops in the theater.
They weren't successful. Like, It's a Wonderful Life is really a fascinating story. You know, it was a failure. It was like the fourth or fifth time Frank Capra and Jimmy Stewart had made a movie together. And they were sort of, at that point, Frank Capra particularly had sort of faded and become kind of yesterday's news and old-fashioned and not quite, you know, after the war, his type of movies, which they derided as Capricorn, were not really as popular as they had been before. So yeah, the movie was a failure, you know, in a general sense. And then it lapsed into the public domain for a little while, and then the copyright issues got worked out, and then NBC just started airing it because it was cheap.
Right.
And then it just sort of built into something that, you know, the power of television.
But
it was like
an event for years and years. Like, yeah. The only time you'll see it this year. Yeah. It's a Wonderful Life. And part of me thinks, yeah, sure, it's television, maybe in a different format, but it's a chance to pause for a minute in the rush of how much we go. Maybe it's in the themes mm-hmm. that come up in a lot of those movies. Maybe it's just that there's also a lot of crap and dreck that get dressed up as Christmas movies that we're drawn even more to the good stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, Christmas is a time where we're naturally kind of more reflective, not just for Christmas purposes, because it's the end of a year. So you're thinking back on what, you know, how your year has been. You're looking forward to a new year. So even non-religious people have a certain period of introspection as they finish out the year. And it puts you in a mood to kind of examine things that you won't be as receptive to examine in June mm-hmm. or in July. And Christmas has all these associations with family and being with... That also puts you in a thinking back to the Christmases past and your friends and family that are no longer with you or what you used to do. And so it leads to this period of reflection, which enables some movies to kind of come in on that and play off that.
Well, and it speaks to me even larger and broader of this time of year is one of a lot of traditions mm-hmm. and things you do in that. And I mentioned earlier, a lot of families do have traditions of going. My wife's family, mm-hmm. years and years, we haven't done it recently because as my wife and her sisters have grown older, we've all had kids and things like that, it makes it a little bit harder to do. But for years, we would go see movies on Christmas Day, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, mm-hmm. The Last Samurai,
Great Christmas movie.
Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, great movie. Tom Cruise Christmas, apparently, for me and my in-laws. But what it speaks to me of is... Christmas, that's good. What it speaks to me of is if it's a time of traditions, and there's something about movies, too, that lends itself mm-hmm. very well, maybe, to traditions. You know, there's a rhythm... And a routine, you know, you're excited about seeing the movie, but for me too, the movie going experience is as much about the snacks and the smell
and
the previews and just kind of being with family and how you do the things.
A movie, especially at the theater, it's as much about who you see it with as it is about what you see. You know, it's about that shared experience with this person that. You know, is an important part of your life or you care enough to go to the movies with. So, you know, because a lot of movies, years later, when I think of some movies, I immediately think of the person I saw it with because that experience is what I associate with the film, even, you know, more so than the mm-hmm. film itself.
And again, maybe it's just that this time of year lends itself very well to that. Maybe it's just simply... Again, it's an easy marketing tool for some films.
I mean, there's
films
a variety of reasons.
And that sort of thing. So that's one sort of set of questions. The other questions I'm interested in getting your input on is what to you would define a Christmas movie? Now, we're going to talk about movies a little mm-hmm. bit later. And actually, I mentioned some already that may be associated with Christmas because that's when they're released, but aren't really Christmas isn't in a plot.
No.
So when I say Christmas movie... Probably mostly we think of something like It's a Wonderful Life, Christmas
Story.
Yeah, you
need something that's set in either specifically at Christmas or winter. It helps if there's snow. That always helps.
Although, ironically, too, most of these films about Christmas not filmed in, like, December
and
all the snow was fake. And
I think It's a Wonderful Life, and I don't know about A Christmas Story, but I'm guessing... It too were not released at Christmas time. They were released at different times of year. I think that's a relatively recent or later phenomenon to have those specific movies
right.
about Christmas time to be released during the Christmas season. Yeah. You know, now every year, ABC Family or Disney Channel release this glut of like
just right, right. Is it 30 days, 20 days, 12 days,
yeah,
of
whatever
Christmas?
It is, horrendously yeah. bad, like cheesy Christmas. And I know that will seg. It looks like
which,
a segue.
Which is my guilty pleasure. Some of those movies, they are so bad, but like, and partly just because it kind of, it makes my wife laugh and annoys her a little bit, so that's part of why I play it up, I guess. But on Netflix, they also release all those movies kind of around this time. And so I'll just watch them. I'll watch these cheesy, horrible movies. One of the best ones I watched was last year, called The 12 Dates of Christmas.
Oh, love the wordplay.
The 12 Dates of Christmas. It's basically Groundhog Day.
Okay, you had me Groundhog
which
Day.
I know you're there, and listeners, we're going to get to Groundhog Day very, very soon. So it stars Amy Smart and Mark Paul Gosselaar, Zach Morris for the uninitiated.
I got you.
And so Amy Smart has basically this experience where she keeps reliving the same day. She's set up on a blind date with Mark Paul, and she just kind of keeps repeating the date until everything goes smoothly. MPG, until everything goes just smoothly. And it is the cheesiest, worst thing, and I love it. It is so, so great. So wonderful. Another movie that, is like that we watched too, and some people would say is very cheesy. Ron Howard's adaptation, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
It's not cheesy at
all. Love that movie. Very good. That movie.
Jim Carrey's wheelhouse is, because I recently saw Lemony Snicket, a series of unfortunate events, and that's his wheelhouse. I mean, that's what he should just make movies that are sort of a little like older kid, maybe they're not kid friendly, but he gets to be a goofy, but it's within there's a purpose to it, you know, and it's telling a larger story. That's he needs to make more movies like that.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, though, is another movie I saw. I actually saw this one this year, and it was great to make fun of. It was a horrible movie called A Christmas Wish, I think, or no, One Magic Christmas.
Okay, but you don't even remember the name.
I don't remember the name. It's One Magic Christmas. That's what it is. Starring vehicle for Mary Steenburgen. Theatrical release.
There aren't many of those, by the way.
Theatrical release in like the mid-1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Also stars Henry Dean Stanton as a Christmas angel. That's about all that my stomach will allow me to tell about this film, because it is horrible. It involves a very depressing kind of look at the holiday season.
It
involves a nonsensical plot. It involves the cheesiest of cheesy special effects. Well, it involves death and time travel, and it's just plainly horrendous.
Well, I will say,
One Magic Christmas, if we're in our review section now, my review would be, do not see this film.
I wonder why it is that so many Christmas movies, and this goes back to even Dickens and A Christmas Carol, why so many Christmas movies involve a character who is depressed or alone or on the verge of suicide. And like that so many movies where they like turn it around and now they find, I mean, I know part of that is because it's a reflection of reality that a lot of people do suffer with depression around the holidays, but it seems like you would not want to, you wouldn't automatically think, a feel-good movie about a depressed person. Like,
well, it's not very authentic. It's not very authentic. I mean, the idea of, I think, being depressed is correct. A lot of folks struggle during the holidays for a variety of reasons. One is, especially people who've maybe lost someone.
Sure.
And the first time they have
there's
a Christmas
without
that. There's
so many movies that deal with that issue.
But it doesn't become authentic because it says, oh, we'll just solve this with some Christmas spirit.
Yeah. The one movie that is sort of authentic, though, and I think we both agree this is one of our favorite Christmas-themed movies, Scrooged.
Well, it is pretty authentic, but let's also just name the fact.
Authentically awesome.
That it's authentic for you and for me because it stars one William Murray.
Yeah. Speaking of which, this is before I've seen the film, but on Netflix this Christmas, Bill Murray is got a Christmas special coming out called A Very Murray Christmas. I am super intrigued, and it may become a part of my Christmas tradition.
This is Jim Carrey's wheelhouse's older kid figure.
Yeah, this is my
Bill
wheelhouse.
Murray, Brian's wheelhouse.
I'm very excited.
But Scrooge is authentic.
Oh, Scrooge is a fantastic.
You know, a little bit of how you go through that journey, and even, it's one of my favorite Christmas films as well.
It has to be.
Also authentic, I will tell you this authentic. There is a movie probably I wouldn't say it's my favorite Christmas movie, but it is one that resonates very closely with me. A movie Four Christmases, Vince Vaughn, Reese Witherspoon, Robert Duvall. Apparently, Robert Duvall, in his preparation, the role he plays is the father of Vince Vaughn's character. And the premise of the film is that the two leads, played by Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon, they're a long-term couple, not married, but they always go leave town for Christmas because they don't want to spend it with their families. Both their parents are divorced with other people, all that sort of thing. And so for this Christmas, they can't leave, and they have to visit all four families. The first family to visit is Robert Duvall. And Robert Duvall, like I said, in his preparation for this role, apparently spent a couple of weeks with my dad. Because that's kind of...
With your dad?
With my dad, yeah. Because that's who he plays in this film. It seems like it's okay. My father and my family. My wife Rachel and I, this is very much sometimes what our Christmas is, just having to go back and forth between a lot of family, and it's good to be with that family, but sometimes it can be...
They're very stressful.
Stressful and just a rush, and it's stressful for them on their side too, because we're always kind of coming and going between all of them. But we went and saw that movie together, and it was just like, yeah, we get this. We get this film. So, Four Christmases, I would say go and see that one.
Another Christmas movie I want to kind of feel you out on and see what your thoughts are. Love Actually.
Oh, that's my wife's favorite film.
You know, I have noticed, and I don't know where this came from, because I love the film. Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's one of the Hugh Grant's best films. It's got so many great people in it, you know. A young Martin Freeman, Alan Rickman, Emma Thompson, the list goes on and on. But there apparently is, amongst younger people, there's a backlash against the movie. It's kind of like they're starting this groundswell of like, oh, I hate that movie, because it speaks to people maybe our age, but people maybe a generation below us or close to that, they are rebelling against it. It reminds me of the way people feel about Forrest Gump, I think.
Oh, really? Wow.
How, like, a different generation comes in, they're like, ugh, you know.
A little too saccharine, a little
too
sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that helped that film is really the voiceover at the beginning and the end, and the idea of being in airports... Love All Around and airports and that sort of thing. And probably it is very much, though, a movie maybe set in its time, given that it was, you know, 5-6 years removed from 2001, 9/11, and so had, you know, that idea of being in an airport and love and affection, and probably had some resonance to it as
and
well.
I wasn't aware. I didn't know, and I don't know how big the back, but I just today saw something where some people were like saying that it's... You know, and
That's interesting. Well, listeners, tell us what you think. What are some of your favorite Christmas movies? What are Christmas movies you don't like? What have not been a magic Christmas movie for you, as the case may be? And tell us on Twitter or by going to our blog, 10kmovies.com, and joining the conversation there. From movies that are about Christmas, we now move to our top five. Just movies that we associate with Christmas, because that's the day they had a wide theatrical release.
Number five. Coming in at number five, released Christmas Day 2013, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. This is the remake of the 1947-ish film starring Danny Kaye. This one with Ben Stiller, Shirley MacLaine, Kristen Wiig.
Now, not surprisingly, I've never seen this film. What I remember from the trailer is... Well, you've seen, like...
Yeah, but I mean, you like Ben
three
Stiller.
Times as many as
you
I
like
have.
Like Kristen Wiig. Like, what is the problem?
I just haven't taken time to watch it. What I remember from the trailers, though, is very bright, very fresh, very probably sort of an inspirational tone.
It is. It is. It's about seizing your dreams and going after your dreams and not letting fear dictate, you know, hold you back from doing the things you want to do.
So it kind of plugs into that idea maybe of introspection and reflection. It was also Oscar bait.
It was Oscar bait.
It did not quite take.
Well, you know, some people love the film. At this point, in the climate that we live in now, any film released on Christmas Day is probably aiming for some sort of award season. But, you know, it didn't work out, but it was, to me, a very good film.
Okay, number four.
Number four, Christmas Day 2009, Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, I love Sherlock Holmes. That's one of the ones I went and saw with my wife's family.
It's a kind of a perfect meld of like director material and also casting. You want to talk about casting?
Right.
I mean, they knocked it out of the park with both Jude Law and Robert Downey Jr. were just perfectly cast.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And my favorite part of that film probably, and you've told me before, this is something maybe Guy Ritchie does in a lot of films.
I think
he's
done it in Snatch.
But it just worked so well for Sherlock Holmes, the device of, like, when Holmes is in a fight, it sort of, you know, it slows down and he anticipates what's coming. Kind of gives you, it's a neat way to kind of say, look how smart this guy is and his reasonability. Just in a different, unique, creative way.
Yeah,
I really love that part. Oh, yeah. So, cool. Yeah, I can agree with that. All right,
and
number three.
Christmas Day, 2004, The Aviator. This is Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio. The story of Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes, yeah.
Fascinating person.
This is another conversation, and not one we need to get too far in, but just in terms of all the Scorsese-DiCaprio partnerships, would you rank this near the top, in the middle,
it's close.
Bottom?
I mean, the first top, if it's not the top, the top is Gangs of New York. I love Gangs of New York. Probably like it a little
also,
bit more.
Also, I think A Christmas Release.
Probably, but The Aviator is the one that...
that speaks to you more. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, number two.
Number two, Christmas Day, back in the old days, before either one of us were born, 1973... The Sting.
Sting was released on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
What a fantastic Christmas that must have been.
Christmas Miracle in 1973.
After you opened your lead-based paint toys and spun your top
you run
a couple
out
of times.
You go see a gangster movie that's kind of semi-gangster con movie.
That was our top con movie,
it's
I'm
a great,
pretty
it,
sure.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like the grandfather of con movies. Really.
Wow. Like, I'm smiling like I do on Christmas Day. That's how much I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
And that was only number two.
That's number two. Number one, Christmas Day, 2012, and it's Les Miserables.
Even with Russell Crowe.
Yeah, I can stomach Russell Crowe. The rest of it, the part where Anne Hathaway has her head shaved while she's singing
about...
Oh, yeah,
that's powerful.
That is, it's insanely powerful. Hugh Jackman is a great Jean Valjean. Obviously, Russell Crowe's Javert needed some work. I think Sacha Baron Cohen and Helena Bonham Carter were well cast as the Thénardiers. Cosette was a little, it didn't really work for me. I forget, really, that Eddie Redmayne was in the movie, because I really wasn't aware of who Eddie Redmayne was, and now he's everywhere.
Yeah.
But
do you remember, did you go see that movie on Christmas Day?
I don't know that we went and saw it Christmas Day, because I think our son was already with us, so I doubt we would. But we did go see it right around that time, like within the week or
so. A couple weeks or something like that. Well, there you have it. Brian's top five movies with a wide release on Christmas Day. Again, tell us what you think. Agree with Brian's choices? Disagree? Are there some that we missed or should have talked about earlier in the podcast? Let us know at 10kmovies.com or on Twitter at 10kmovies. Well, we really do hope that you all have a wonderful Christmas season. May it be filled with lots of joy and peace, with love and cheer, and may it be filled also with movies.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots of movies. We'll be back with you again in a couple of weeks, talking about another set of movies that maybe are thought of a lot at the holidays, or if they're not, they will be soon, as the next one in the series is coming out in just a week before Christmas. So when next you hear from us, we'll be talking about Star Wars Episode 7. Until then, we hope that your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11. Have a good one, everyone.